Merkle Media.
This was all circulating around the base that a giant had been killed, but no one was supposed to talk about it.
I saw three long bony fingers reach up underneath the door, curl up to grab it, and then disappear.
When he came over to me, dude, he slithered over to me.
And this giant comes out of the cave and they're all frozen. And he starts running and firing at this giant. But the giant moves. He's got a spear in one hand and he's running really fast and spears Dan and holds him up like this. Somebody yells, shoot him in the face, shoot him in the face. They basically decapitate him.
Got closer. When he got about 15 yards away from me, I raised that 12 gauge and I blow this head off.
I feel something pulling at my leg. And I look over and there are two small gray entities pulling at me. And they're literally, I'm getting pulled off the bed.
I reach my hand into this bush and I touch air. Couldn't breathe and I couldn't move because I know I'm seeing a monster.
Welcome to the show, everybody listening to the Confessionals Podcast. I'm your host, Tony Merkle. Thanks for being here. If you have a crazy, wild experience you want to share with me on the show, go ahead and shoot me an email. My email address is contact@theconfessionalspodcast.com. That's contact@theconfessionalspodcast.com. Or go to the website, theconfessionalspodcast.com, hit the contact section, and you can reach me that way as well. Either way works for me, just get a hold of me. If you want more shows on a weekly basis, we got you covered. Become a member to the website, theconfessionalspodcast.com. Get access to all the extra content on a weekly basis right there. Also, go ahead and check out MerkleFilms.com for your on-demand streaming. We have three documentaries on there and more content coming to that website very soon. Also, check out MerkMerch.com for your Merkle Media apparel needs. We have a new hoodie in town, friends. Yes, everybody loved On the Hunt t-shirt, and so the hoodie is now available on MerkMerch.com. Go ahead and cop yours before it's too late. All right, today we have Darcy Weir coming on the show. He is a filmmaker and most recently spent time in D.C. at the UAP hearings, and he comes on today to talk about what was uncovered during those hearings. And then we also talk about his docuseries, Dark Alliance, and the Dark Undertones to the 20 and back situation. So let's get to Darcy Weir right now. All right, today we have Darcy Weir on the show. Darcy, long time, man.
Hey, man. How's
glad
it going?
You're here. I'm glad you're here, yeah, man.
Happy to be here.
You and I, we were just talking and I figured we'd hit record before we get too far into the conversation. We're going to start off today with the congressional hearings. And, you know, I've heard mixed reviews on the hearing itself. So I'd be interested to hear your thoughts because you actually flew into DC to be part of the hearings and attend them. But, you know, and when I say hearing mixed reviews, I mean, I didn't hear anything. I read about it on X, UFO Twitter or UFO X. But you know, people have been, you know, like in love with the document, the Immaculate Conception, to
Constellation.
Constellation. I did it again. I just told you I wouldn't do it. I literally said to you, that's funny. We're leaving that in. The Immaculate Constellation, I'm reading it off my notes. But there's been people with that document that I've been seeing just in love with it. They're just like, this is amazing. So I'd love to hear, you know, your perspective on how the hearings went. Maybe some new information that you feel has been uncovered, your thoughts on the document and everything in between.
Sure. Yeah. So the hearings were really cool. I was there. I actually got to walk into the room. I was one of the last three people in line that were accepted.
Wow.
A Canadian. So, you know, kind of random that I actually flew in from another country and got accepted to this congressional hearing. I documented it, so I recorded the whole way. I actually have a video where I'm at the very front of the line and I'm asking the lady that's kind of like stopping the line and then saying, go, are we going to make it? Are we going to make it? And yeah, so we made it. Me and the last two people, another buddy that I traveled with who runs a UFO UAP related podcast called UAP Studies, Jason, he did not make it in. He had to go into the spillover room. I feel bad about that. There was a lot of people in line and many people showed up late and just butt in the front. So it was a little bit, it was like Black Friday on steroids, you know, yeah. But UFO related. It was cool. I mean, you saw the who's who of the UFO people, James Fox rocking up late, Jeremy Corbell, Jesse Michaels from American Alchemy, just a whole bunch of, you know, you had a lot of representation there. I ended up hanging out for a long time in line with famous abductee Randall Nickerson, who also produced that cool documentary out of Africa, the Ariel school phenomenon or abduction case, or no, mm-hmm. not abduction, experiencer case. All these kids, broad daylight, saw a UFO land and then saw beings come out, right?
Are you saying that he was one of the kids there, or was he the one who did the documentary?
He did the documentary.
Okay.
Yeah. I think he put like his heart into that doc because he's had abduction experiences and he knows what it's like to be stigmatized and all that stuff. So he just flew over to Africa and he was like literally living under the African sky, looking up at the stars for 2 years.
I feel like he did a great job with that in the sense that like, if I'm thinking of the same documentary, because I know there's been other people that covered it, he even had somebody that was a kid that experienced this, but came and said, you know, I forget what his explanation was, but he was denying that it ever happened kind of thing. So like, I feel like he did a good job balancing, you know, the experiencer and them saying, yes, this happened. And then even somebody who was there said, no, it actually didn't happen.
Yeah. He was one of the kids and the rest of the kids, plus a teacher in the doc, admitted that she at first thought the kids were making everything up. And then she had her own abduction experience like sometime later. So that this phenomenon was kind of happening in that area of Zimbabwe for a while. And multiple lives were affected. But this guy was, he was an interesting character. I think a lot of people made like meme videos out of him, like mic dropping and saying it never happened type thing. But it was a cool atmosphere. Everybody was kind of like high spirits and really excited. I remember, so the night before the hearings, I crashed with my friend Stephen Bassett, who lives, he's got a place in Washington, D.C. And we caught up and we were talking about what the possibilities were for the next day. We knew the hearings were going to open at 11:30 a.m., but we didn't know how long they would go for. You know, his best estimate is that it would go for an hour. Right? Because lunch, a lot of these congressmen and congresswomen want to like break for lunch. So we thought it was just going to go from 11:30 to 12:30. And it went to about like one something, like just over one or just before one. So it was a good duration. And they were just firing off a wild amount of questions, you know, things that were being recorded into congressional hearing record, into the congressional record, sorry. So people out there like kind of take a step back from UFO Twitter and stuff. I know a lot of people were saying, it was like a nothing burger or whatever. You hear that term thrown around so much, but it's like you do realize that this is the first time in history that we've had congressmen and congresswomen talking openly about hybrid programs, abduction, reverse engineering programs, crashed craft retrieval programs, like all this wild stuff, bases in the ocean, potential hotspots for USO activity or possible UFO/USO bases, you know, off the coast of California and stuff like that, right? They were just all over the place with stuff that's part of UFO lore, but now is being discussed by legislation, like powers that be in the legislative process in the United States of America, you know, lawmakers. So this is powerful, you know, and I don't think this is something you want to throw under the bus. And if you think about it, if they're saying all that stuff now, it's the second hearing ever to happen regarding UAP or UFOs. What are they going to talk about next congressional hearing? And there's a lot of rumors that there's going to be more. You know, they touched on radiation effects from UAP on, you know, experiencers, people that have been exposed to that radiation from seeing the UFO up and up close and personal. So that means potentially there's going to be a hearing in the future where we have experiencers that were affected, their health was affected, and they'll be able to speak from that perspective, what they went through. And, you know, some people are kind of rallying and saying that, hey, like they're really pushing the threat narrative. To me, it's like maybe that is part of it. But when you get down to brass tacks, really what they're doing is proving that it's a real phenomenon. If people are getting medical issues and adverse health effects from being exposed to UAP or UFO radiation, that means that phenomenon or that thing is real, you know? And I think that's what they're really just trying to slowly go down the path of this disclosure that's happening. Mm. And it is probably going to be a slow process. Like everybody talks about catastrophic disclosure. We need that right now. And that's like almost the anarchist inside of people speaking that want this truth out so badly. But it's not necessarily a good way to get the truth, because it could crumble absolute trust in our government institutions, which are at an all-time low. And yeah, it could, you know, just not be something the masses could stomach right off the bat. I know you could, because you're open to all this sort of like this type of stuff, but not everybody.
Yeah. Yeah. And I feel like we can lose touch of that a little bit at times, because like you and myself and listeners of shows like this, we kind of get engulfed in the topics that we cover, and it becomes so normalized to us that I think maybe even we lose touch with reality when it comes to what the everyday world thinks and views of this stuff. I still kind of taken back when people say, you know, they find out what I do and they're like, do you believe in UFOs? I'm like, what? Like, that's like, why are you asking me that? Like, it's literally in the name, unidentified flying object. Anything in the world that is flying in the skies that we can't identify would be a UFO. Like, even just that simple, basic understanding. Not to mention, you know, the idea of where do they possibly come from? And that's the stuff that I think that really trips people up. You mentioned about the radiation, and the thought that comes to my mind is the legal ramifications of such things. And off the top of your head, you would say like, well, who's there to sue? you know, but at the same time, I think experiencers that if it's proven that they had radiation poisoning or were harmed by these things, and there was some kind of off the books government organizational effort to keep this quiet and study at the same time, withholding that information from people and then them getting physically hurt, do you think that there could be room for, you know, legal ramifications of lawsuits against the government?
Yeah, I think that is part of like the catastrophic disclosure outcome is if, you know, this really gets out of hand and stuff gets leaked and proves that people's lives have been threatened and at risk due to this secrecy, you know, there could be people that turn around and sue the government in like class actions or something like that. I'll give you an example of somebody that I know of that I've spoken to who is an experiencer who got sick from exposure to this radiation. Have you ever heard of the Rendlesham incident that happened? Right off the edge of the Bentwaters base in the UK. Rendlesham Forest, it's a nice little forest. You can go on hikes and stuff there, but back in the 1980s, two main witness, well, there was actually three. Charles Halt, who's was like a commander or a colonel or something at the time. He held a higher rank. This happened over a course of days. There's like a really interesting tape recorder recording. You can listen to him where he had his sighting. And, there was this UFO buzzing the base, shooting like lasers at the ground in front of their feet and into these like bunker areas of the base. People assume now that actually they were secretly storing some possibly nuclear weapons there or something. And that's why the UFOs were showing up there. But the two other witnesses that were experiencers were Jim Peniston and John Burroughs. John Burroughs I've spoken to, and he literally walked into the forest and there was this like kind of glowing orb is what he recalls experiencing, which was different from what Jim Peniston experienced. When he walked into this glowing orb, he kind of heard this non-local consciousness, and he has a whole story I'm not going to go into, but after that event, he went back to the base. There were two men in black suits waiting for him. They immediately took him off to a room and kind of got a debriefing of what happened. And he was examined over those next few days at the base. He had another experience, I think, the second night. Now, fast forward years and years later, we're talking like in the past decade, he had health problems. He had this heart valve issue. And he went to go make a claim for that whole heart valve issue with his benefits, as an ex-Air Force personnel, because you get to keep those benefits, right? Those benefits were rejected because his record working for the Air Force was wiped. Somebody did not want him to remain valid or credible with the Bentwaters, you know, the Rendlesham incident. So they wiped his background work with the VA. And this became alarming that somebody had done that. And, you know, another person you could say that this happened to that people contest, but I think is very true, Lou Elizondo. He left the Pentagon. They wiped his work records, said there was no ATIP. They can do that type of thing, right? They want to control the truth of this subject. So John Burroughs was actually interacting with To the Stars Academy at that time. This had Kit Green and a bunch of interesting scientists that were all related to this phenomenon over the decades. how put off, you know. And he ended up complaining about this issue, saying, I need to get this medical treatment for my heart, and they're not giving me my benefits. So John McCain, former senator, Republican senator, was informed of this issue. And he's a veteran, right? He was in the Vietnam War. He was very upset by this because he saw that John Burroughs actually had payment records and like proof, you know, forms that he had worked at the Bentwaters base. And he ended up, John McCain, running this up the flagpole and making a major complaint, saying, like, how could you wipe this guy's records? He worked for the Air Force. You can't do this. You need to reinstate his records so he can make this claim. And apparently, what it came down to, he signed a piece of paper that said, in the future, you may be called in as an experiencer to this UAP phenomenon that got affected by radiation. If you do that, you sign this form that you will do that in the future, we will reinstate your records. You will get your medical benefit covered. So I think he might be one of these people that shows up at a future congressional hearing regarding UAPs.
Yeah. I had talked to him a while ago, and I totally forgot that aspect of his story. So he signed that paperwork, but if he is called in to testify before Congress, there's nothing he can do about that. So like he can't be held responsible for speaking about certain things when, you know, he's being pulled in. I'm sorry, there's an NDA I signed 10 years ago. I can't talk about that. It's like, no, it's not really valid at this point.
Yeah. I mean, he'll have to talk about his experience and how he had a health issue. And the interesting thing, if you listen to Dr. Gary Nolan from Stanford University, he was approached some years ago by the CIA because they wanted him to look into experiencers that were getting these health effects from UAP exposure to their brains, to their hearts, to their blood, all kinds of things that they were recording. And so there's a history of this type of stuff happening. And I think they even have it down to a radiation signature that they know of that UAPs that are credible exhibit. So it's going to be interesting to see how things develop over the next few years.
Yeah. You know, speaking on this, this radiation topic, there's the topic of radiation comes up in different categories of the weird, you know? I was just shooting a documentary last week, and a big reason why we were there is because there's this like cube portal that popped up on thermal. They have it on thermal video. They have two of their team members walking into this portal where they disappear once they cross that threshold. And then both those team members died 2 months later. Then there's also like the idea of Bigfoot, where I was told by a doctor, I still haven't confirmed with her if I can actually publicly, even though people who are in the know probably can make the connection. I just don't know if she wants to be connected to this or not, but I talked to her on the phone and she said to me, because I was given a location supposedly where there was a Bigfoot that was buried. And she had told me when I reached out to her about something completely different when it comes to this site. But she told me to call her right away. I called her and she's like, you need to have a Geiger counter when you get there. And if there's any radiation, you need to leave the area right away, because some of these burial spots, when people dig them up, are exposed to such high levels of radiation that they die months later. And so like, it's interesting how radiation seems to pop up with all these different things. And for me, in the simplistic mind that I have, I go to, well, are they connected in some way? And, you know, Well, go ahead.
I think if you're looking at an object that is not emitting some kind of combustion effect from traditional fossil fuel energy, it's got to be running, you know, a UFO or UAP would have to be running off of some kind of exotic nuclear radiation reactor. You know what I mean? Like, and a lot of, there's a lot of evidence of that. That there was a British study actually published regarding radiation signatures and UFOs, I think in the 90s. This was like a mainstream, I think it was like the British Air Force or something. So like, this is something that intelligence and militaries of the world are aware of, I do believe. And when it comes to like portals, if people are seeing a portal, you know, basically something open up out of nowhere and an object or a being come out of it, I would want to stay hella far away from that. I would want to stay hella far away from a UFO too, because there's something to do with that that's going to emit a radiation that we're not used to. Like, we get really sick from radiation. Right. And when you hear about reports of like grays and these sort of non-human intelligence that look alien, maybe the way that those things are designed, you know, don't have sex organs, big heads, big black eyes, kind of spindly bodies, their skin looks like gray and, you know, devoid of melanin or any kind of like color that we see on ours. Maybe you're looking at an entity that was specifically designed to withstand radiations that our bodies are not allowed to be exhibiting, you know, or exposed to. And when people talk about us like a Bigfoot or something coming out of a portal, I mean, that's like a pretty robust looking body. You know, you could tell from witnesses or experiencers that see a Bigfoot or Dogman or something like that. These are like massive, muscular, really robust creatures. Maybe they're able to withstand some forces and radiations that we can't. I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, it's definitely something to consider. And I've made a decision that I'm not jumping through a portal anytime soon. You know, like, I mean, I got friends that openly say I'm going through. I'll tie a rope around them and hold on to it through this end. You know, my buddy Joel, his kids are grown. My kids still need dad at home. You know, and so
Don't be going through the portal, bro.
No. I got a lit to tell about it. So. But yeah, I mean, like that location that we were at, I mean, there was definitely weird things that happened in this very centralized geographical location that has a lot of anomalous things happening. You know, it makes you wonder, is it the geographical location for some of these places that have such high strangeness? Or yeah. Is there some kind of, I don't know, ancient thing that happened there that is like a magnet for future events? It's just a lot of consideration. I know you look into a lot of different things. I know, like, you know, I mean, I don't know how people view you, but I view you as somebody who does a lot more than just UFOs. You have the Bigfoot documentary, and you're well versed in other topics as well. Even though really UFOs are, you know, you do a lot of that stuff as well.
I'm interested in like all this fringe theory stuff, right? Anything that's like beyond the pale, beyond like sports, politics, celebrity drama and stuff. Like that stuff bores the heck out of me. You know what I mean? But when it comes to radiation, again, another thing that comes up are like, again, these hotspots, Skinwalker Ranch. That has a radiation signature that they keep recording, and people are leaving there sick all the time. People have kind of alluded to that maybe that is radiation sickness that these people are being exposed to who are working and living on the ranch. Another ranch that I think is super anomalous that no one talks about, that the government of the United States literally quarantined off. You can't walk on this property at all. It's like Area 51 of the ranches out there. It's called the Bradshaw Ranch. There's no TV show being filmed on it like the Blind Frog is now and stuff. The Bradshaw Ranch. There's even videos of when the Bradshaws lived there. I think the son was walking around the property and he had this, you know, old mini DV handy cam, and he's panning around in like the forest area, and you see this little entity that looks like a gray poking its head out, but it's like translucent. It's like the entity or being almost has this ability to cloak itself. But you see these shapes of these really large eyes, almond-shaped eyes on a huge like head, and a short spindly body that's like poking out from behind this bush. That's from the Bradshaw Ranch. And that place got quarantined off in the 90s, I think, or really? Late 80s.
So the Bradshaw Ranch, it's been quarantined off and nobody can go to it now?
You can't. Wow. It's like illegal. The government.
That's why nobody talks about it.
Huh? And no one talks about it. Everybody's talking about Skinwalker, which I'm sure there's something going on there. People talk about Blind Frog, but no one talks about Bradshaw.
Hmm. Wow. Yeah. Wow. Wow. Okay. So the place that I went to last week, I had to sign an NDA before I was given the location to it and everything, because they don't want it. They don't want the location getting out and the area being contaminated. But now with that information, there's also that concern as well, because I didn't connect it until you brought this up. So last week, and let me tell you, I don't get sick. Like I get like colds where I have respiratory infections and stuff. But when it comes to like vomiting, I don't get sick like that. Like I think the last time I vomited was probably, you know, I don't know, years ago before I moved to Tennessee.
You got an iron stomach?
Yeah, man. Like I can eat anything. Like I'm good. And I'm out there. And it was the third night, I think. And let me preface this with, this location has radiation readings. They set baselines when they go out to the location, and then they operate from that baseline to see the spikes. And there's definite spikes. There were spikes when I was there. And you know, part of me is like, I still have this like youthful attitude about me where it's like, oh, I can't die. Nothing can get to me. You know? So like when somebody's saying, hey, there's radiation here, I'm like, who cares? I don't feel anything, you know? And it was like three nights in, I'm laying there and all of a sudden, like my stomach starts feeling really sick. Like I'm like, I think I might hurl. And then it moves into my intestines and my stomach starts turning like in my bowels. And I'm like, I think I need to run to that elevated toilet real fast. And, but once I handled business, I didn't feel like I needed to throw up anymore. I didn't throw up. And I didn't feel like I needed to throw up anymore. And the rest of the time I kind of felt okay. My intestines were turning a little bit here and there, but mm-hmm. my first night home, I'm laying in bed and I'm like breathing heavy. I'm like, I think I'm going to throw up. And I did. I threw up harder than I have thrown up in years. I wonder if it has something to do with the radiation that's there. I didn't even think about that till now.
I don't know. You could always get tested.
Yeah, I probably should.
They can take a blood test from you, a blood sample, and they can run that through to see if you got radiation poisoning.
Hmm. I might have to do that. I mean,
how long I might have to do that soon. This?
Just last week.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Fresh.
I'm feeling great now, but.
Well, if you did it, you might have some kind of conclusive evidence if you found out that you did have radiation poisoning.
Yeah. I might have to hit, I don't have a family doctor. I might have to hit up like,
you could do a walk-in clinic. You just,
take my blood, please.
Explain to the doctor that you got really sick visiting a site and you just want to get a routine scan, but check off radiation, testing for your blood.
They're like, where were you? I'm like, it's a secret. I signed an NDA. Shut up and take my blood. So, well, listen, unless you have something else you wanted to say about the hearings, I think the hearings, it sounded like they were a hoot. And I saw a video of it. It was like a who's who is there. I was like, dang, dude, like everybody's there. I would love to get Lou on the show one day. I don't know if that's even possible. I was talking to his part. I think you probably know who his partner in crime is on this whole thing, right? I don't know if he's public or not, though. He's coming out with a memoir soon. The initials is JS.
Jason Sands?
No.
Oh.
No. Let the record show that I know something that Darcy doesn't.
Well, I don't know, man. I can reach out to Lou for you and see if.
Oh, you know Lou?
Yeah, I'm friends with Lou. Okay.
Well,
I can see if he wants to come on the show for sure. I can
tell him I'll bring him in studio. You
know, yeah,
I'll bring him to studio. No, the other guy I'll tell you off air then because when I met him at a conference and he did speak at this conference, but he made everybody no filming. No, none of that was what I'm about to say here needs to stay inside this room. And so I was like, oh shoot. And all that. But I think he's public. I just don't know enough. I don't want to do something I'll regret. So I'll just tell you.
That's
afterwards.
Cool. Leave me in suspense, man. I'll figure it out.
The episode's not over yet. Sorry.
That's cool.
So we were talking about go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, that's cool. I mean, he's got so many good people around him. I thought there's Sean Cahill. That's somebody who's been closely associated with him for a while. I don't know. I mean, I'm not sure who JS is.
Yeah.
It's also my older brother's name.
Basically between the two of them, they decided that Lou would be the one that would go public and be the public figure. And he would stay within the government and operate from behind the scenes. Yeah, that's why I just don't know. I'm sure you've heard of him. I'm just being ultra careful because I don't want to shoot myself in the foot for a future interview one day, possibly.
Oh, Jay Stratt.
Yes. Okay. Perfect. Yeah. It's public, and I didn't do it. Yeah. So, okay. Gotcha. Nah,
sorry. I don't know why I didn't think that at first. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's still working for the government. I think his memoir will be interesting to see how it compares to Lou's. And see if he got more stuff through Dobser review to be published, right?
Yeah.
What else is the Pentagon going to allow us to know? Or maybe it'll just be the same stuff. I don't know.
I messaged him last week and I asked him if he'd be there. And he said, I will not be there, but I hope it goes well. And funny thing is, that might be too personal. Never mind. We're going to move on. You mentioned about, we were talking about the radiation and stuff like that, and that kind of veered us off of the hearings, but instead of going backwards, let's just keep moving forward. I brought up the idea of Bigfoot and the radiation connection, and we have the UFO connection with radiation. There mm-hmm. is somebody in this world that years ago I heard talking and suggested that one of the aliens that he had seen looked a lot like Chewbacca, which in my mind was like, oh, that sounds like Bigfoot. His mm-hmm. name is Emery Smith. And you have a documentary called Dark Alliance. And it's actually a docuseries. It's two episodes, right? And you kind of really dive into this stuff. And I'm not sure if you cover Emery on it, but I know Corey Good is on it. Let's talk about this. All right, let's take a second to talk about our sponsor today, which is Simply Safe. Listen, 2025 is gearing up to be a crazy year. A lot of people are talking about the drama that's going to happen this year. Make sure you and your family are drama-free at home with Simply Safe. Get yourself 50% off your new Simply Safe system right now because it's New Year's and they're giving you some new deals. Simply Safe's Active Guard outdoor protection is on point. I love my outdoor security cameras. They really let you see around the house in case there is a problem.
and someone is lurking or looking suspicious, their agents will see them and talk to them in real time, activate spotlights, and even contact the police all before they have a chance to get in your home. There's no long-term contracts or cancellation fees. Monitoring plans start off affordably at $1 a day, 60-day satisfaction guaranteed. Start the new year with greater peace of mind. Visit simplysafe.com/confessionals to claim 50% off a new system with a professional monitoring plan and your first month free. That's simplysafe.com/confessionals. There's no safe like SimpliSafe.
Yeah. All right. So Emery is covered very briefly by Jordan Sather.
Okay.
In the second episode of the first season. I might actually go on and do a couple more seasons because people are responding pretty well to it. Like people really liked what we did so far. But I've been part of the UFO community since around 2009. That's really when I started interacting, reaching out to people, interviewing people to make my original documentary, The Underground, with Phil Schneider and the underground base, deep underground military base theory. And 2012, I published that for free on YouTube. Few years later, I started hearing about this guy, Corey Good, through David Wilcock. And that was all being announced kind of like through Gaia, which is this new age, spiritual / conspiracy UFO network. And, I was enthralled with the story at first. When I first started looking into UFOs, I was massively naive. Like, I believed everything that was put out there, right? And I, just like you, am now skeptical at first of the stories. I want to hear a lot more. I want to see a bit more evidence before I start to believe or, consider something to be real. But back then, I heard, up until 2015, which is really when Corey first started hitting the scene, I had heard about grays. I had heard about, possible like Nordic or human looking aliens. I had heard about hybrids and, all these concepts were well baked into the mythology and lore of ufology for decades. But this guy is coming out and he's saying there's these blue aliens that are bird people and they will, come down in these spheres. They're part of the Sphere Alliance and yada, yada, yada. And I was just like, what the heck is this all about? Right? Like, this does not fit at all with what's being recorded by all kinds of people around the world, whether you're in Zimbabwe with Ariel or you're in Australia with Westall or, the UK or wherever, like we've had these UFO encounters, they often look or get described in the same sort of way. Sometimes they get described as robots that walk out of the craft, like robotic entities, right? Like machines. But this was the first time I heard about the blue bird people. And so I kind of kept it filed away in my head that I'd love to sort of talk with these guys one day. And honestly, maybe one day I will talk to Corey Good and David Wilcock on camera. In making this documentary, the first two episodes, I went out to Boulder, Colorado, and I drove out to David Wilcock's home. I knocked on his door, shook his hand, and he kicked me off his property. So, I tried, And well, then I got all point, these crazy texts.
At what point did you get kicked off the property? Did you tell him what you were about to do, or did he already know who you were and what you were about?
Well, there's all these like lawsuits that are happening right now with David Wilcock. The aerospace company that he's been promising all the people that invested millions and millions and millions of dollars in, he would produce like these hover anti-gravity cars with, and it never happened. So there's like that lawsuit. There's a couple other personal lawsuits he's got going on. So I started getting these angry texts after, because I texted him and I apologized for like just knocking on his door, but I was in the area and I'm making this documentary, blah, blah, blah. And he was like, "You'll be hearing from my lawyer," and all this stuff. And I'm like, "Hey man, like, you don't have to say that. I'm not like, you know, whatever. I'm just a filmmaker and I'm documenting a story." And he was like, "Oh, I thought you were coming to serve me papers. I thought you were involved with this lawsuit. And I thought you were about to like try and give me a paper or a letter or something." I'm like, "No."
Talk about paranoid.
Yeah. So that was my interaction with him. So he didn't want to be involved in this story, even though we told it with public record information, you know, like stuff that is proven to be true. And Corey too, I tried to reach out to. But, you know, these people, they live in their own sphere of influence. It's like an echo chamber. And they live in a reality which is truth by proclamation. So you can't get through to them unless you're on their level inside of their own bubble of truth. And anything else is just null, obsolete, void, you know? So unfortunately, I couldn't get them to talk outside of that. And yeah, Emery comes up in the second episode because he was very close to them at one point. He was coming up with them via the Gaia TV network, presenting on that show called Cosmic Disclosure, who Jay Widener is, you know, one of the people you saw in the documentary. He's the former head of production at Gaia TV. He basically took them from this small startup company that was selling like yoga mats and stuff like that, which you could still buy. I have a Gaia yoga mat here. And like, you know, they do good products and stuff, but they branched off and started doing entertainment, this whole like new age spirituality stuff. And it just opened the floodgates to a lot of this esoteric thinking. And, you know, the entertainers that are David Wilcock and Corey Good got made on that network.
Mm. And so we kind of beat around the bush a little bit. When it comes to this whole series, what is the gist behind it? Like, what are you documenting? Because you're exposing certain things, and it's cool to hear that you're doing it through documented evidence that is out there, because it doesn't leave the audience to say, "Well, that's your opinion." Well, it's not really your opinion. It's what's been documented. So, what is the gist of what you're doing with this docuseries?
Well, I'm talking firstly to people that were part of constructing this whole narrative, right? So we talked about Jay Widener. I think you should have him on. He's a fascinating person, very out there in terms of his thinking in the world, and brilliant guy. But, you know, he quite literally says, "I shaped the Corey Good character. I told him to be humble and quiet, not boisterous and animated, because people won't believe you as much." So if you look at the way Corey used to present back in those days, it was very quiet and almost monotone. You know, that was like under direction of the head of production at Gaia, Jay Widener. And David Wilcock, he's like he's like Ashton Forbes. He can talk about all these like mathematical and, you know, fringe science concepts and explain them on a lower level so most of us can comprehend them. And that's really where his strength was. And he would dip into metaphysical realities and like UFOs and stuff like that. And so eventually when Corey came along, you know, it became all UFOs and conspiracy and dark cabal, like the government controlling, you know, the people in a sinister way and all that stuff. But I think what we talk about in this documentary is that, you know, how we hear a lot now about whistleblowers in the UFO community.
Mm-hmm.
We talk about the fact that these guys came forward with their own brand, their own quality of whistleblowers, which really were kind of senile old men that would just repeat and echo the same sort of concepts that they wanted them to present on to support their whole narrative. And I'm also in the documentary showing that essentially this is dangerous because so many people believed and you know, were on board with these theories. They were dumping tons of their money into conferences to attend to get this whistleblower testimony, and they were subscribing to Gaia en masse and all these different things, all to find out years later in like these depositions and stuff that happened, that it was all just entertainment and intellectual property that was invented by these men that were deceiving people and trying to label entertainment as truth. And I think that's where, you know, we have to be careful because, heck, like all of this stuff is entertaining, right? Mm-hmm. Like I am entertained by the incredible amount of information that comes out of the UFO community every day, or the Bigfoot community, or the cryptocurrency community. Like there's so much information that's interesting that comes out of that, right? But we have to be really careful of promoting ideas that are patently untrue and are really just there as entertainment, you know? Mm-hmm. I think that was one of the main themes of the docu-series. And it probably will remain to be the theme of the docu-series as we explore other people that have kind of like come and gone and weave their narratives into the history of ufology or other stuff that's been going on, you know, that you've probably mm-hmm. even seen.
Oh, for sure. For sure. I guess the, and if I'm wrong, tell me, but the idea of 20s, 20 and backs comes up in this, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Is 20 and back, from what you understand, an original idea from these guys?
Yeah. It was really? Invented by Corey Good. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. So that's a hard pill to swallow. And I've had emails from people sure. Who are very, very, very invested in that idea, right? And I'm sure you've probably even spoken to many
Tony Rodriguez twice.
Yeah. And there's many of them out there that say they've basically lived a alternate life with their soul in another body 20 years in the future, but then they've been regressed back to like another body that they're living in now that they've come on your show and do the interview with, but this is just their basic, you know, life that they're living now, that other extravagant, like wild, space story and stuff happened in another life with technology allowing for this kind of like surrogate life swap or whatever, right? But it's like, it's an easy way out to say that and then not have any proof behind your claims. Like, oh, well, it happened in the other life, right? And this, I think the one of the things about Corey is that he went after everybody who came after him that claimed that they were also a 20 and backer, right? So I talked to a guy named Tony Rodriguez, nicest guy. I like him. I think he's a good guy. He came forward, you know, and said he was a 20 and backer, and Corey and David said he was a fraud and, you know, threw him under the bus. And
really,
Tony even said he, you know, Corey was rude to me at a conference that we both were at and stuff like that. And it's, you know, in the documentary, we talk about what happened to Jason Rice, and he got like threatened and he lost his job and all this stuff, you know, because there are people that believe that is their narrative and it can't be anybody else's narrative. The same thing happens though in ufology, right? Like, or even in the Bigfoot community, there are people that come forward and say, I'm telling the truth. And you know, that guy's not. I mean, I remember hearing a story that David Pilates accused John Green and the original guys that went out to see the Bigfoot tracks in 1952 of murdering a family of Bigfoot, that they actually found the family of Bigfoot that created those original tracks. And this was a scandal. This was like a huge argument, a war that happened in the Bigfoot community, I think in the 1980s. And, you know, I think David Pilates has done some great work and he's written some great books about that and the missing 411. He did like the Hoopa Project, which is the Bigfoot book and some other stuff. But that happens. People get territorial about certain narratives and they war within the community. And that happened a lot in this secret space, you know, community. And there's more people that come back all the time that say they were also on a 20 and back. But you had to remember the origin for that whole story is with a man that denied ever going to space. He said it was a astral projection or a meditative process in his deposition tape. So what more proof do you want? There are people that say, look, the 20 and back is actually, there's probably two or three people that are real and the rest is all manufactured. I want to speak to those two or three people.
Do you have any idea who they are?
I have no idea, but I've been told, you know, I'm getting like these emails now since people have watched it. There's a lot of people upset, you know, because they're
sure.
They think that I'm denying the truth of it, but it's like, I'm just presenting what has been said, you know, and what is part of the public record now. You can make your own mind up. I can't make it up for you.
Yeah. And that's how I approach a lot of this stuff. Like, you know, we're not really here to tell people how to believe on things or what to think. We just share things with people and, you know, tell you to put your big boy pants on and think for yourself and decide for yourself where you want to go with it. You know, when it comes to, you brought up Tony. I've had Tony on, I think, twice on the show. I think the first time I had him on was like for episode 90 or something, like within the first 2 years of the show. And I think I brought him on for a follow-up after that. He's the only person that I can recall that talking to that claimed to be part of the 20 and back program. And he, if I remember correctly, he had so much information that we barely tapped it in two recordings. Do you think people like him are falling in the category of like a Corey Good, which is they know what they're doing and they're doing it anyways? Or do you think he has had experiences that through his maybe looking into things online or whatever, came across this idea of 20 and back. And it's like, you know what? I think that's what happened to me. And he's funneling all his memories and thoughts into this category of 20 and back. I mean, I don't want to focus in on him and make him the topic of a conversation as much as like the idea of that. Like, do you think that's a possibility for some of these people? Or do you think that, you know, from what you've been looking into, the 20, if somebody's claiming 20 and back, they're pretty much outright saying to you, I'm lying.
Yeah. So there's, you know, we speak in the second episode of this docuseries to Leon Isaac Kennedy, African-American Hollywood actor. He's a Christian minister, and he watched everything go down around him in terms of the controversy and the lawsuits and all the stuff that he was embroiled in regarding these people. And he's been part of the UFO community and part of the, you know, spiritual community for a long time. And he puts it pretty eloquently. You know, he says that there are people out there that have experienced UFOs, that have had these out-of-body experiences, right? Where they might have been on a craft or might have been interacting with a non-human intelligence and might have felt like they were off planet and so on and so forth. These people that come up throughout history, there are some that are real. And what happened with this story is sometimes people see these other real stories and they relate it to what their experience was, and then they just kind of go off with it, right? I think maybe, you know, Tony had a real experience and he's associating it with 20 and back. You know, it's possible. It's possible he had some kind of experience, like a, I don't know, like a past life, who knows, right? Mm-hmm. That he's remembering. Or I can't speak for him per se. But I just know that the 20 and back was a well-constructed sort of hoax, data mined, conspiracy theory, data mined, and science fiction mind, you know, narrative. Because we could see all of these similar popular ideas mirrored in science fiction. There's a part of the documentary where David Wilcock and Corey Good are literally talking to each other on stage at a conference about the concept of these alien races coming to Earth and doing genetic harvesting and DNA mining or something like that. And they literally say in their presentation that they just went and saw a movie called Jupiter Ascending, which was produced by the Wachowski brothers or whatever. And they're like, yeah, yeah, it's just like in that movie we just watched, Jupiter Ascending. You know what I mean? It's like, okay, so like you're literally bringing up this concept right after you watched a movie together. Do you see how that's a bit of a conflict?
Yeah.
Of reality and this kind of truth that you're spreading. So, and you see that all the time in their storyline. Like Total Recall is this Arnold Schwarzenegger sci-fi where he lives he's like waking up, but is like a totally different life. You know, but it's like a simulated reality or something that he's playing out and you don't know. And you've got all of these UFO sort of lore things, like Bonnie Meyer wrote the book about blue bird people, extraterrestrials, long before Corey Good started talking about it in his narrative.
Wow.
And
so you I'm sorry. Just to clarify, with these, what you're just mentioning here, it sounds like there was a lot of data mining of information to compile into one cohesive storyline.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's right. And one of the, you know, Carrie Cassidy from Project Camelot?
Familiar.
Yeah. And then there's like Bill Ryan. They started that kind of together. It's like the 4chan of conspiracy theories and stuff, but it's a little less toxic. It's more like a community of people talking about all these different conspiracy truths or theories on chat boards. And Bill Ryan spun off his own website version of Project Camelot, which was called Project Avalon at the time, in 2014. He tracked, as the website administrator, the guy who ran the website, he tracked Corey Good's logins and saw that Corey Good was going to all of these hot topics in the conspiracy world, and he was engaging with that and learning about those theories. You know, everything from secret space programs to deep underground military bases, reptilian, alien, evil overlords, and, you know, anti-gravity, and all. He was basically finding all these things. And it was actually Bill Ryan and Carrie Cassidy that originally came out and said, we don't know if we trust this guy, because, and they posted that on the forum message board. Bill Ryan wrote like an essay and explained why he thinks that this is all just a LARP, like a story that's being created. And what happened thereafter, there was eventually some vengeance that was played out on Bill Ryan. He got doxxed. His address and pictures of his home were put out online by the Corey Good camp. And we have like a Western Union receipt that proves that Corey Good paid the next door neighbor of Bill Ryan to actually do this spying and doxing. So it's like, you know, things like that, that just, it adds up to a lot of bad, you know?
And yeah. You know, and it's like, if you're going to create something like this, it makes sense that you would do it that way, you know, because there's a lot of pieces to this. Like, and I'm not intimately involved, what's the word I'm looking for? Like in the know of Corey Good's supposed story and all of that, you know? I dance around the circles with a lot of this stuff, and I just kind of peek in the window. I'm like, oh, that's interesting. You know, you want to talk about it on the show? Yeah, that's kind of where we go with it. But it makes sense, because some of the things that I've heard involving the 20 and back, I've heard in other things when people aren't even claiming 20 and back. It's like little details, you know? The idea of, like you were talking about, the idea of DNA, the alien DNA thing. Like there's versions of that I've heard, yeah. Or even the idea of trying to manipulate if you don't want to say the soul, the astral body of some kind of, there's some kind of manipulation from that people are experiencing, where it's like, when I go to sleep, I'm coming to understand that I am going somewhere else. And there's something going on where these things, whatever they are doing to me, you know? And it's like, yeah, you see pieces and you're like, and that's what that maybe is what makes a believable lie, right?
Yeah. There's factors of all this existing already in the greater community, right? Mm-hmm. Like you're talking about abduction phenomenon. Okay, I'm going to take that part from the abduction phenomenon. I'm going to take like this part from time travel, this part from deep underground military bases. The bad guys are the reptilian, Draco reptilians. You know, I'm battling them on a moon base or on Mars. Like, it's all kind of there in different parts of the community, but you're putting it into your own like super story, like connected to all of it. So you're the one that has like the most knowledge. Come to me. I can, you know what I mean? That's what it was like mainly about. And I believe some of this stuff could be true. You know, I mean, we're talking about some of the stuff in the hearings a week and a half ago. If any of that is true, it's mind blowing, you know? But when one person claims to be exposed to all of it, that's where we got to be like, okay, well, how do we verify these claims? Well, you can't. I lived for 20 years in this other body. Okay, great. Thanks. You know, but many people have been like wrapped up in this and really, really invested their lives and their money and their time and confidence in these stories. And it's like, I don't know.
I feel it's almost like it's a shame that that's happened, that that there have been people who invested their maybe life savings into this to help advance, you know, the disclosure of it, and it to be, you know, a complete lie. And it's almost like Corey and whoever else that's involved with this, it's like on the very base level of it, can't fault you for the imaginative effort, but it's the direction you took it, because there's a whole audience called comic books that would have loved this story. You you picked the wrong book.
He made a comic book.
Okay, well, that kind of defeats my purpose. Like, I was going to say, like, you picked the wrong audience, but now he's like, I just want to hit all of it. I want to hit these people. I want to hit this people. That's crazy.
He did it.
Wow. Wow.
It's actually in his deposition. He picks it up and he says it is his like IP Bible or something like that.
Wow.
But yeah, like it is, you know, it is what it is. I mean, history will tell the truth over time, right?
Yeah.
But that's why we always got to like, it's great to tell. These stories are fascinating, you know? There's a reason why it captivated so many people, because you had like the front man spokesperson, David Wilcock, who's super animated and an amazing entertainer, right? But he was pushing a load of, you know, and Corey was, you know, with him along the way. So I don't know. It's like, I think the documentary is, you know, factual, but also part comedy. It's supposed to be a bit of a dark comedy because we have to have a sense of humor about these things too, right? We're human. People make mistakes. People are people, right? We have faults, and we try to learn from mistakes. We try to learn from misdeeds and pick ourselves back up and move forward and do better. And, I guess that's kind of like the lesson here, so to speak.
Yeah. That's a good lesson to have. It really is. You know, like you mentioned earlier about, you know, finding these topics entertaining. Like, I think anybody who listens to, you know, this podcast or watches your documentaries, like there is an entertainment, like they find it interesting. It's one of those things where, maybe not take yourself too serious, you know, as far as, I don't know, like, I think people sometimes get so caught up in it that it becomes their identity and their entire world. And that's when it, like you're leading yourself to a cliff that eventually you're going to have to jump off of, and it's not going to end pretty. It's going to hurt.
Yeah. And I've been there. Like I've literally been so invested in these UFO stories, you know what I mean? That I felt like it was my life. And I'm trying to separate myself a bit from that these days, you know, like just like you probably have sometimes felt like, whoa, like I'm not going through that portal, you know, if it manifests or something, you know what I mean? Like I want to have my feet on solid ground. I want to like, you know, be with my family and friends the rest of my life and stuff. So it's like you can become unhinged. And I think these fringe theories, this fringe reality that we might be dealing with, it unhinges people. And then when you also got these stories that are coming out of this that are kind of exploitative, right? And they work on more vulnerable people, which are the people who are already unhinged from reality, and they're having a hard time figuring themselves out and trying to figure out, you know, what their future is. They're trying to figure out where they fit in the world, and they get attracted to these theories. They can get really lost, and it can be really damaging to them long term. And so I guess like part of me giving back is trying to help people understand that not everything has to be taken seriously, right? That's out there in terms of this conspiracy world community. You need to sort of like come back to reality, speak to good people, surround yourselves with your, you know, sensible family members or friends or community members. Like you're part of a church and stuff. There's some amazing people that probably can help you come back to earth, so to speak. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And like a documentary like this is meant to do that. It's meant to sort of like, okay, guys, let's take a breather. Let's come back to reality. Things got out of hand. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Absolutely understand. My buddy Joel, he has a podcast called Free the Rabbits. And it's like this concept of, you know, we're going to talk about all this crazy stuff and we're going to go down these theories and stuff. But at the end of the day, we want to maintain and keep our sanity. And I always mess up his tagline, but I think his tagline is something like come out the hole and touch grass. And it's just like, it's good to do that. You know, it's good to just touch grass sometimes and just breathe some fresh air. Darcy, I want to bring this in for a landing. I just want to ask you where we can find this docuseries and also your newest documentary, which is Transmedium Puerto Rico's UFOs. Where can people get this stuff? And I'll put a link in the description as well.
So Dark Alliance, that's on like Tubi TV, Amazon Prime, Roku. And I think, on Roku and Tubi TV, you can just watch it for free. If you have listeners that are in the UK, they can watch it on Amazon for free. But here in the United States, it's like $1 per episode. It's not going to break the bank, really low barrier of entry. Transmedium, the Puerto Rico journey I took recently, that is available on Apple TV, Xbox, like a bunch of, other platforms, Fandango now, that type of thing. And I know you saw that film too, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Tell the people what it's about briefly.
Yeah. So I went out with a friend, Andy Marciel, who's a Puerto Rican native who now lives in New York. We met when I was making this documentary with Tim Gallaudet about ocean-based USO encounters. And Andy's actually a really interesting person. You should talk to him. He's going to be possibly featured in a News Nation special soon. But Andy Marciel was this guy that built up this like Instagram following. And then a guy who followed him, who was a Department of Homeland Security agent, liked what he was doing and said, "Hey, I've got these real videos that we recorded and filed away within the Department of Homeland Security. Do you want to see them and possibly vet them and leak them to the public?" So there's four videos people can look up. It's La Bruja, the A-10 Warthog, the Apache UAP footage, and the Rubber Duck UAP footage. Those videos got leaked eventually through Andy, who goes by NYUAP Discussion. I interviewed him regarding that footage and the leak for this original documentary with Tim Gallaudet. And we became friends, and I was like, "Hey man, we got to work on something else. What do you think?" And he's like, "Yeah, we should go to Puerto Rico, where I'm from. There's tons of like UFO and USO sightings that have happened around the island over decades. We could try and find some people there. I've got family and friends." I was like, "Awesome. I've never been to Puerto Rico. Let's go." And we became friends with this guy, Jorge Martin, who is a Puerto Rican native. He's lived there for decades and decades. And yeah, Jorge is like the George Knapp of Puerto Rico. You know, he's like OG journalist that's been recording these events around the island. And he hooked us up with the guy who leaked the 2013 Aguadilla footage, which actually was mentioned in the UAP hearings this past week on the 19th of November. Now, this past week's hearings were held by Aero, the All Domain Resolution office or whatever. And they debunked. They just took every opportunity to debunk this phenomenon, that there's any non-human intelligence aspect to it. A lot of people expected that to happen. But they debunked the Aguadilla footage and they called it a balloon. And there's been heavy scientific analysis of that video by the Scientific Coalition for UAP Studies, Robert Powell. There's been now my documentary where we spoke to the agent that leaked that footage, and we hear the before, during, and after the release of that video, like what happened and why that video was captured and why it was released. And yeah, we went around the island. We met with some other interesting experiencers, one of which said that they met a non-human intelligence that was looked like an Indian man, and said that they were from another planet and that there's going to be some horrors coming to Earth, like a kind of cataclysmic event where an asteroid strikes and causes mass pollution and destroys lots of, there's, you know, the population gets somewhat decimated and the rich live on an island and all kinds of stuff like this. So it's a bit of a wild ride, the documentary, but it's revolving around this stuff we're talking about, like UFOs and non-human intelligence.
I love it. I love it. And as a Puerto Rican, I highly recommend it.
Oh, you're Puerto Rican?
Yeah. Yeah.
I didn't know that, man. I thought you were Italian.
Yeah, people don't know what I am. I am whatever you say I am. If I wasn't, then why would I say I am? So
that's funny, dude. Wow.
I am Puerto Rican. When I used to be a parking enforcement officer in Reading, Pennsylvania, and that city is filled with Spanish people, and they come running up to me, yelling at me in Spanish for writing a parking ticket, and I don't understand Spanish. I don't speak it. So I'd be like, you know, I tell them I don't understand what they're saying, and they look at me like I have 10 heads. And so then I started telling people I'm Italian, so they would understand, oh, he doesn't speak Spanish, like he's Italian. So yeah, I'm Italian. But, you know, if you don't see me, if you don't see me on video or picture, you see the last name and there's no Spanish accent, you might think I'm German because that's a German last name, Merkel. So
yeah, Merkel. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm a weird mix, man. But yeah, 50% Puerto Rican. My dad, my biological father was 100%. And
I see it now. Yeah. Honestly, I see it now. Yeah. Like olive skin, the dark hair and stuff. Like my buddy, Andy Marcial, he looks a little bit like you too. He's bald.
All Puerto Ricans, like, man. Know. We go bald. We grow black beards.
Yeah.
The ladies like it, I guess. I don't know. So
yeah, man, for sure. For sure. But yeah, so dude, thanks for having me on. It was good catching up with you, talking about all things, and glad you checked out some of my recent investigations. And yeah, man, really good chat with you.
Awesome, man.
In the Capitol halls, the air was dense. Secrets spilling out, you could feel the suspense. Talk of hybrids and programs so deep, where the ocean hides what we can't keep. Oh, they talked about the skies, and what they found inside, deep inside. But the whispers grew louder, no more place to hide. Secrets in the hearing, under the marble. Reverse engineering, oh, they broke it down. What's under the surface and what's underground? Crashes and crafts, the stories unfold, but the answers stay hidden, oh, so cold. Oh, they talked about the skies, and the beings from afar, from afar. Legislation shaking, we've come so far. Coming out, it's a brand new day.
This time of year, most of us are checking off our holiday gift lists. But identity thieves have lists too, and your personal information might be on them. Protect your identity with LifeLock. LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second and alerts you to threats you could miss. If your identity is stolen, LifeLock will fix it, guaranteed, or your money back. Make this season about joy, not identity theft, with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year at LifeLock.com/iHeart. Terms apply.